Welcome to the will of God in the life and the writings of the servant of God, Luisa Picarreta, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, O divine will, to palpitate in my heart, to circulate in my blood, to think in my thinking. Every single act done in the divine will, before the praise and glory of God our Father, for the salvation of all souls, from Adam to the last, and for the divine will, to come and reign on earth as it reigns in heaven. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Welcome again to the program, The Will of God in the Life and the Writings of the Servant of God, Luisa Picarreta. Today we will continue with Volume 21. The next passage comes from April 22, 1927, and the title is How Creation is the Ornament of the Divine Being. All created things give lessons to men. Great delight in the creation of men. Luisa Picarreta writes, continuing in my usual state, my sweet Jesus made himself seen as a child, all afflicted, and his sadness was such that it seemed he felt like dying. I pressed him to my heart. I kissed him several times. Who knows what I will do to cheer him? And Jesus told me, my daughter, look at how beautiful is the whole creation. What charm of light, what enchantment of variety, what rare beauty. Yet these are nothing but ornaments of our divine being. If our ornaments are such, our being surpasses our very ornaments in an incomprehensible way. And the creature is incapable of comprehending the whole incomprehensibility of our being. God is incomprehensible. God cannot be really comprehended 100%. We talk about the divine attributes to come to know who God is. God is wisdom. God is love. God is truth. God is mercy. God is beauty. These are divine attributes that tell us who God is. The eye is incapable of enclosing all the vastness of the light of the sun. It can see it, fill itself with light, as much as it can contain of it. But it is impossible for it to contain all of it, or to measure the length and the width of the extension of the light. The sun is our being for the human capacity, and our ornaments are that which he can always see and touch with his hand. He can see the sun. He is touched by its light, which makes him feel its heat. He can see the immensity of the waters of the sea. He can see the blue vault of the heavens with many stars. But as far as knowing what light is made of, how much light it contains, how much water the sea contains, how many stars are in the blue vault, and what this is made of, he will not be able to say anything about it. He can see and enjoy all this, but he is the first little ignorant one in arithmetic, weight, and measures. If this happens with our ornaments, how much so with our divine being? The eye cannot really contain all the light. Many times our Lord Jesus uses the sun to explain the divine will, and many times he uses creation to explain the divine will. And in this passage we see that our Lord uses images in nature to explain that in the same way that he has adorned creation with beauty, with light, with heat, with water. All these elements are like ornaments that he has put out of love for us. Through this, we come to know who God is. We come to know something about God. The immensity of God. The light of God. The wisdom of God. Through his creation, we come to know who God is too. However, you must know that all creation and each created thing gives lessons to men. They narrate our divine qualities, and each one of them gives a lesson about the quality it contains. The sun gives a lesson in light and teaches that in order to be light, one must be pure, stripped of every matter. This is a very important element that our Lord mentions in the Book of Heaven. Purity is very important for us to have. The purity of heart. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. Our Lord is comparing the Son. He's giving us this lesson. He's giving us this example that in the same way that the light of the sun illuminates the whole earth. And he teaches us the light must be pure, that we have to be stripped of everything that does not belong to the Lord. Purity is a very important element that we need to have in order to understand this way of life, in order to advance in the way of holiness. Light always contains heat. One cannot separate the light from the heat. Therefore, if you want to be light, you must love your Creator. You must love your Creator alone, and this will bring you, like sun, the fecundity of good. This is the first commandment. Love God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul, all your strength. If we have in our hearts the love of God, if we love God first and God alone, then we will be able to contain, to receive all the goodness our Lord says in this passage. We need to follow the Ten Commandments, and we see how the Book of Heaven is right on with the doctrine of the Church, with the sacraments, with the commandments. The Lord is telling us that we need to fulfill the first commandment. We need to love God with all our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength, in order to acquire this way of spirituality too. The heavens give you a lesson about my celestial fatherland. They call you continuously to your Creator. They give you lessons in detachment for what is earth, in the height of sanctity that you must reach, and how you must adorn yourself with all the divine virtues more than stars. Another example that he is giving us through creation, now he is teaching us a lesson through the image of heaven. The sky tells us that the sky tells us about the fatherland, tells us about heaven. It tells us that in the same way that the sky is high above the earth, we need to rise up high above the earthly things. We need to start looking for divine things. We need to lift up our souls to the divine, to the pure, to the eternal, and leave behind all the earthly things. In the same way that the skies are adorned with stars, we need, he says, you must adorn yourself, your soul, with all the divine virtues that are more than stars. What are the virtues? Well, we have the theological virtues that we receive in the sacrament of baptism. We receive faith, hope, and charity. These are the theological virtues, and these are pure gifts that God gives us out of love for us. Because he loves us, he gives us these gifts in baptism. In the sacrament of confirmation, he adorns our soul with more gifts. He gives us wisdom, knowledge, understanding, strength, fear of the Lord, piety, discernment. All these gifts that he gives us is for our spiritual good and out of love for us. And they flow through the sacraments. We need also the virtues of prudence, temperance, fortitude, justice. These are the cardinal virtues. They incline us towards the good. They move our soul towards the good. Because concupiscence, which is what remains after baptism, is always pulling us back to what is contrary to the virtues, towards vice. And we need to adorn our soul with all these virtues. Our Lord tells us that they are more than stars. So, in order for us to live in this spirituality of the divine will, we need all the help that the Church has given us, all the treasure of the Church that is at our disposal, in all the piety of the Church, all the devotions, all the novenas, all the sacrifices. We need to do a little sacrifices. We need to fast. We need to unite our prayer with fasting. We need to do this in order for us to gain strength, spiritual strength, and in order for us to dispose ourselves, our souls, to receive this gift. We need to use the sacrament of confession, we need to dispose ourselves through the sacrament of confession, and we need to receive the Holy Eucharist. We need to follow the Ten Commandments, everything that the Church teaches us. We cannot leave anything behind. We have to unite all this spirituality, all these treasures of the Church, all the commandments, which is the school of life, which is the school of moral life, the Ten Commandments. We need the sacraments. We need all the devotions, all the novenas, all of this. We need it in the Church, and we need to practice those as much as we can in order for us to grow in holiness and in union with these writings of the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta, through which we come to know and understand what does it mean to live in the divine will. Our Lord gives us this gift of the knowledge of living in the divine will, and we need to take advantage of this greatest gift that the Lord has given us in this time. We need to unite our acts every morning, the prevenial act. And during the day, we need to unite our acts. We need to have the intention to do everything in the divine will. And if we do this, our Lord will move us faster towards this spirituality. But we need to dispose ourselves. We need to lean on the virtues. These virtues are necessary. Therefore, each thing gives a lesson and calls man to reflect himself in it in order to copy it and to imitate it. I did not release my ornaments only for them to be seen, but so that by imitating them, the creature might adorn herself with them. Yet, who pays attention to listen to so many lessons? Almost no one. And all afflicted, he kept silent. Almost no one pays attention to these ornaments. Creation, all creation tells us of the goodness of the Lord. We need to grow in holiness. This is the universal call for everybody to grow in holiness. And in order for us to become holy, we need to go back to our Creator. We need to go back to the life of the Ten Commandments. We need to align ourselves with all the virtues. We need to make sacrifices. We need purity. We need chastity. We need all the virtues. We need to persevere. Then I follow the supreme will, and in the act in which the divine being was about to create man, so that I too, together with my first father, Adam, might love him with the same love with which he loved him in the first instant of his creation. I wanted to receive that same divine breath, that outpouring of love, in order to return it to my Creator. But while I was thinking of this, my sweet Jesus, all delight, told me, "My daughter, for one who lives in my will, there is no one act of ours at which she is not present, nor any act we release from ourselves which she cannot receive. Here is my breath for you and the outpouring of our love." Luisa Picaretta is meditating upon this specific act, the act in which God created Adam and the correspondence that he gave to his Creator. I would like to read this next passage that comes from volume 33, one of the higher volumes, December 10, 1933, in which our Lord reveals to Luisa Picaretta the first words of Adam, the first thing that Adam said to God as he was created. "My daughter, I also feel the desire to share with you the first words pronounced on the lips of the first human being created by us. Do you know that as soon as Adam felt our life in him, devotion, the reason that he beheld his Creator, his God, before him, and understood that he had been formed by him, Adam felt within himself, within his whole being, still fresh, the impressions of the touch of his Creator's created hands. And in gratitude, in an impetus of love, he pronounced his first words, 'I love you, my God, my Father, the author of my life. This passage comes from Volume 33, December 10, 1933, and this is what our Lord tells to Luisa Picaretta, the first words that Adam pronounced as he felt the strength of God in himself. In gratitude, he said, and in love, he corresponded to God, to his Creator, and he said, I love you, my God and my Father, the author of my life. This is the same prayer that we should be saying every day, every morning, as we wake up, as we get up from bed. We should give thanks to God, and we should memorize this little prayer. We should learn it by heart. I love you, my God, my Father, the author of my life. What a beautiful prayer that our Lord gives us, the first words that our first parent pronounced, the first words that Adam, our father, pronounced. I love you, my God and my Father, the author of my life. And in this word, in this correspondence of love, God felt the love of his creature. This is what he wants from us. He wants us to love him, to correspond to his love, to correspond to him for the gift of life, for the gift of being able to see, for the gift of being able to walk, for the gift of being able to speak, to think, for the gift of just being able to get up and have a new day. How great was our delight in this first act of the creation of man. We had created heaven and earth, but we felt nothing new within us. But in creating man, it was very different. It was a will that was being created, and this will was free. In it, we enclose our will, placing it as though on account to collect the interest of our love, of the glory and of the adoration which will come to us. He felt the correspondence of the love of his creature, and he felt the love of his creature. This is what he wants from us. He wants the correspondence, the love that he deserves. Oh, how love overflow within us, how it trembled with joy in putting into his free will to hear it say, I love you. And when men feel with our own release from his breast the first word, I love you, immense was our delight, because it was as if he gave us the interest of all the goods we have placed in him. This free will created by us was the depository of the capital of a divine will, and we would content ourselves with a small interest without ever demanding the capital back. Therefore, great was the sorrow for the fall of man, because he rejected our capital so as not to give us our small interest. His counter remained empty, and his enemy, associating with him, fill him with passions and miseries. Poor one, he went broke. This is what happened. Our Lord created us with this great gift, which is our free will. And he gave us the capacity to decide to love him or to reject him. And what he is telling us that before the fall of man, Adam was in complete union with God. He was giving him love and correspondence and adoration, and he was filled with the light of God, with his divine will. The divine will was at the center of the soul of man, of Adam. He contained all the virtues. He contained everything within himself, because God was giving him all of this. There was perfect union. As soon as Adam went away from the will of God, our Lord tells us that he was empty, and the enemy, the evil one, filled him with passions, miseries. That's why we need to replace these passions, these miseries, these bad habits, these tendencies with the virtues. And we need this spirituality. We need to put God back at the center of our soul, at the center of our life. This is the first commandment. We need to unite ourselves to the will of God. We need to empty out of ourselves of these passions, to get rid of these passions, these miseries, these tendencies, all this sin. And we have the sacrament of confession to get rid of all sin in us. We have the sacrament of the Eucharist to be enriched with the grace of God, to continue our journey, to keep striving, to keep persevering. We need all the virtues. And with this gift of the divine will, we need to put it in practice. It's not enough to come to know this gift. We need to put it into practice. How? By uniting ourselves, by uniting every single act with the will of God. My dear daughter, since the act of the creation of man was a solemn act and of a great delight for us, we called you and want you in this act in order to repeat the solemnity of it as we place in your will the great capital of ours. And as we do this, our love overflows and trembles with joy, with great delight, because we see our purpose filled. You will certainly not deny our small interest to us. You will not reject our capital, will you? Even more, every day we will do the accounts. I will call you to be present at that prime act. When we created this free will, you to give me the interest, and I to see if I can add some more of my capital. That's why it's important for us to remember this little prayer. I invite all of you to memorize this simple prayer and to say it several times during the day, as you get up in the morning, as you prepare yourself for the Holy Eucharist, as you go back to your pew and give thanks to God for the Eucharist you receive, as you drive in your car, as you wait in line for wherever, in the grocery store, as you wait at the doctor's office, you say this prayer. I love you, my God, my Father, the author of my life. Make it yours. Make it a habit to glorify God with everything you do. Make it a part of you. Make it a second nature to you to glorify God. I love you, my God, and my Father, the author of my life. As you prepare yourself to say the rosary, say it. I love you, my God, and my Father, the author of my life. As you prepare yourself to say, to recite the Divine Mercy Chaplet at 3 o'clock, say it. I love you, my God, and my Father, the author of my life. As you go back to sleep at night, say it. I love you, my God, and my Father, the author of my life. When you feel that things go in a different way, when you feel that things are not going good, when you started being impatient, when you start being anxious, say this prayer. I love you, my God, and my Father, the author of my life. This is what God wants from us, my brothers and sisters. He wants us to turn back to Him, and He wants the love that He has put into our hearts through the grace of baptism. He wants His love to be given back to Him with interest. My mind was wandering in the divine fiat, and I thought to myself, oh, how I would like to live that first act of creation, that divine outpouring of intense love which He put upon the first creature when He created him. I would like to receive that omnipotent breath to be able to return to my Creator all the love and the glory which He had established to receive from the creature. But while I was thinking of this, my sweet Jesus, squeezing me to Himself, said, my daughter, this is exactly my purpose for coming personally to you, so much so that it may appear strange to some and almost outside of my usual ways, since almost with no one have I done this, coming so often. All this is to reorder my prime act, the way I created the creature. And this is why I return to you, staying like the most loving father with his daughter. This is the purpose of Luisa Picarreta. The purpose for Luisa Picarreta is to teach us how to live in the divine will, how to learn this way of spirituality. That's why our Lord visits Luisa Picarreta and gives this revelation to her, so that through these revelations we will come to know, to understand, to learn the gift of the divine will. How many times have I not breathed over you? To the point that you could not contain my omnipotent breath. I pour my contained love in you, to the point of filling you to the brim of your soul. All this was nothing other than the renewal of the solemn act of creation. I wanted to feel that great delight of when I created man, and therefore I come to you not only to renew it, but to reorder the order, the harmony, the love between God and the creature, in the way she was created. In the beginning of creation of man, there was no distance between me and him. Everything was familiarity. Everything was harmony. Everything was peace. Everything was love. As soon as he will call me, I will be with him. I love him as my son. And as my son, I felt so drawn to him that I could not do without going and staying with him very often. With you, I am renewing the beginning of creation. Therefore, be attentive in receiving such a great gift. Our Lord is telling Luisa Pecarreta that he wants to feel the same love, that he wants to renew that love that he felt when he first created our first parent, Adam. These writings of the servant of God, Luisa Pecarreta, these writings, they teach us how to live in the divine will. And that's why the title of these writings is the call for the creature to return to the order, the place, and the purpose for which he was created by God. And the purpose is that we love him, that we love him, that we correspond to him. The place in which we were created was the place of holiness. We need to go back. We need to go back to the life of virtue. We cannot live in vice. We need to reorder ourselves to the will of God. If we do this, he will help us. He has given us all the divine assistance that we need. We have the sacraments. We have the strength. The Catechism of the Catholic Church, when it describes the sacraments, it says they are powers that come from the body of Christ that continue the work of Christ. So, as we finish today our program, let us ask the Lord to give us the grace to be always united to his will, to give us the grace to be always in union with his most holy will. And let us pray this prayer. I love you, my God, my Father, the author of my life.